Okay.
All right. We should
start. Yep, we're starting right now. Welcome, Shoujo listeners, new and old. Like, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold.
Sorry. What is
that
this?
That just popped in my mind. It's like a Girl Scout song. So if you're, you guys know the drill if you've been here. If not, I'm Sarah with my friend Joe showing him shoujo anime. So, you know, shoujo to Joe. Showing
yes.
Shoujo to Joe.
Showing it to me.
Perfection of a name. And so we're talking about Skip Beat. We'll be wrapping that up soon.
And two more episodes after this one.
Oh yeah. Oh, we said we were. Wait, no. Was I supposed to watch three episodes this time?
Did you not watch three episodes?
No, I watched three. I wasn't sure if
No, okay, it was. It's three this time, and then two, and then two, because there's seven. Okay. There's seven, not including the ones we watched this time.
Okay. Well,
I was about to be very disappointed in you.
No, I just couldn't remember if we. Okay, not that would have been the biggest problem ever. But first, let's catch up. Let's pal around. What's up, Joe? You want to talk about your sick Halloween get up from the other day?
What?
You were like a wizard.
My what?
You're a wizard in the Discord.
I went to Ren Faire yesterday and I dressed up like a wizard and went there. And while I was there, I upgraded my belt and I got a little belt thing that has a little flask on it. So now I can drink. It was
cool.
The last day of Ren Faire here in Ohio and I went to it.
That's fun. I went to a fair and then it was like with people I didn't know that well. So I was like, I don't want to take forever looking at every stall. So I didn't look at that many things. If I was alone, I just would have been there all day looking at the things to buy. Oh, man.
That is mostly what you do. I had a lot of drinks also, because, you know.
Just hammered wizard. Just.
That's right. I'm there. It was good. Nice. Watch some people juggle some fire.
Ew. Is that going to be your next endeavor?
No.
No?
I have any desire to juggle fire.
That's okay. And you call yourself a wizard.
Do they perform? Do they do performances like that?
Well, I don't think it's like a wizard thing. But I feel like
I would just make the fire juggle itself.
Cricket, I can't with you right now. Oh, she wants to get on the desk. Cricket, I'm recording right now. Leave me alone. Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So wizards, you know, I've been reading A Wizard of Earth. See, I finished the second or the third book.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for this show.
Are there?
Cricket.
There's like six or seven. Something like that. So I'm halfway through all of them,
right?
Yeah, they're pretty short. This one took forever to read because I didn't like it that much, so I was really slow, and it took a long time.
Dang, this one didn't talk about gender roles or anything.
It did not. It's more about like, oh man, everything in Earthsea sucks. If only we had some young kid become the promised king we all wanted, everything would be good. And it's like, and then he does that.
Like Narnia, kind of,
but like not even in like a cool way. Oh, he doesn't even get to have like a cool sword fight or anything. It's very much like about some wizards have been going off trying to like obtain immortality, and by doing that, they've like cut themselves and the world off from their connection to magic. And so, like, magic is fading in the realms. The wizard Ged has to go help with the help of a young prince to go solve it, and it is. It really drags. I don't know.
How old is Ged at this point? He's book one.
Oh, he's an old man. Yeah. He's like in his 60s or something. He's like elder statesman Ged. And he gives some speeches about the world and how you should not intervene in things and just let them play themselves out, which doesn't really match what they do in the book particularly. But I guess that's our. Words of wisdom from Ged. Ged sucks as an old man, is what I'm saying. I don't like old Ged. He's boring.
Well, yeah. Maybe he's just got a smidge of the memory loss or.
Nope. He's just an old guy now who's just lame. Okay. Doesn't take any risks. Doesn't care about anything.
You're going to be a grumpy old man?
No. I'm going to be awesome. No. Why do you think? Do you think I'm going to be that?
I think people are going to think you're going to be like that just because imagine your voice, but old, like, geez, kids. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Is that what I sound like?
I don't know. Nothing you say sounds like that. It's just that your voice sounds like that.
But my voice doesn't sound like that.
One day. Anyways, anything else?
How long have we been friends? How long have we been friends, Sarah?
Maybe like 12, 13 years or something?
12, 13 years. You know, most of my friends aren't scared of my voice after 12 or 13 years. Most of the time, they just realize that this is just how my voice sounds, and they're not like, oh, I'm so angry about everything.
But that's because your other friends don't annoy you like I do.
It's true. Most of my friends don't get me to get Baldur's Gate and then decide to play with a bunch of other people instead.
I can't believe this. I haven't though.
You like spent so much time convincing myself. Me to play it, and then you just start playing with other people. It doesn't even matter. Like our playthrough doesn't. Just because the children hate you in our playthrough does not mean you have to abandon the entire run. Okay, we'll win them back. It's fine.
Or we'll just kill them all with the goblins.
That's an option. Maybe the goblins are redemption. Cool. Who knows? I certainly don't, because we haven't played it. And we won't play it, because you're going to play Dragon Age Veilguard or whatever.
Yes, I am. I am going to do that. It's been weird. I don't have anything to play this week until it comes out. And I didn't start any new playthroughs. I was just thinking it'd be fun to have a four-person run at some point, because I feel like then there's lots of banter and stuff. But we can still play ours, too.
I mean, it will be fun. It's just the problem is that we had a super hard time organizing two people playing at the same time. Can you imagine with four?
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be we're going to have to. It's listen.
Journey.
You have to be okay with putting dates on calendars, okay? It's not going to work unless you put dates on calendars and times to play on calendars. You got to be able to stick to a schedule or else it's never going to happen.
Okay.
Every time I'm like, we should schedule the next time we play Baldur's Gate 3, you're like, I don't want to do schedules. Let's just do it whenever. And then we never do it.
Okay. See, if there's more people to have expectations of me.
Okay. Because we've been friends for so long, you no longer feel the need to impress me. You could just let me down as much as possible.
Yeah.
This is what my voice sounds like this when I talk to you.
God.
Oh, my God. Anyway, what have you been doing, Sarah?
Okay, so last night I just binged all of Windbreaker that's out, which is only 13 episodes. It's that one that Jenny was saying I should try because it's got a bunch of hot dudes fighting. So I did. It's like
the one she told me I wouldn't like.
It's fine. I don't know. I don't think you'll super hate it, but I don't think you'll love it either. I also watched most of season one of Blue Lock, which is that weird ass soccer one. Which apparently the animation plummets in quality in season two. And there's already parts of this one that I was like, eee. I didn't like the protagonist of that one. So by comparison, the guy Sakura from Windbreaker is way more likable because he's a delinquent that everyone's been scared of. So anytime someone compliments him, he gets all blushy and that's cute. It's kind of have weird pacing. It feels maybe because it's just a 13 episode season. The pacing feels a little strange. It's weird when just no one has parents in their lives when you're in high school. Because it's a school of delinquents protecting their neighborhood is the premise. And I'm like, I have never seen them actually do anything school related at school. They're just talking about fighting at school, but not there's not a teacher to be found. Like, is this an abandoned school or a functioning school? I can't tell. But watching both those shonen was making me think, like, damn, I really, like, can't there be, like, it can be a shonen, but there needs to be more, like, female protagonist shonen. Or, like in Hunter x Hunter, there should be, like, a female party member that's, like, a main member and not just, like, not, like, in Bleach where, like, they're around and they're cool, but you don't really get to know them.
Are you saying there's a main woman in Hunter x Hunter?
No, I'm saying there should be.
Oh, okay.
That was just the one that came to mind as a quick example because it's a smaller cast. But, like...
Is it?
Yeah, there's just, like, the four main dudes.
I feel like the cast of Hunter x Hunter is, like, enormous because they introduce a thousand characters.
Well, they're, like, the ones... Mostly... Well, who cares about Liario or whatever, but, like...
Yo, fuck that nerd.
Go hang out with people your own age.
He is their age.
Am I supposed to believe he's like 19? I don't believe it.
Yes, it's like the whole joke of his character.
Because I feel like he doesn't get any screen time, or at least not from what I saw.
No,
it's like,
he's just gone. He's out of the show
sidekick
now.
And then he's bye-bye. Yeah.
But you anyways, want female protagonists.
Yeah, like
why'd you watch Windbreaker then?
Ones. Well,
why'd you watch Windbreaker, the show about hot dudes punching each other?
I know, right? I don't know. This is what watching it made me want this. But and then I'll try to look up good, like, kind of action series with female leads, and they're all from like the late 90s. Like,
yeah, hell
there's nothing
yeah.
new. I mean, maybe like Kill la Kill, but other cool. than that,
Kill
la like,
Kill. I don't know if you're gonna like it.
Well, no, I've seen part of it with the skimpy get ups and stuff.
Yeah, it's like tits out all the time. It's like really a lot in a way that I'm like, maybe I shouldn't watch this.
Yes, so like, don't see right. They can only be a lead now if it's like that. So
that's not, I don't think that's true necessarily. Well, like, right? Like, let's be real. Most of the shonen coming out now is super mid. It's all, yeah, Free Run's great. Watch Free Run. What are you doing?
I need to watch that. But is there like action in it? Or is just a, like sad, oh, my friends are dead show?
It's not sad. It's not a sad, all my friends are dead. Like, it's slower. Like, the pacing is slower. There are action stuff in it. But it's not going to be like every episode is like big explosive action. Just watch older anime. Older anime is good.
Yeah, I know. I like add it. There's one called like Golden Kami or Kami.
Golden Kamui.
Something. Yeah.
That one's actually the
animation's new, but I was like, it seemed like a.
The chicken doesn't really do anything.
No, it's okay. God damn it. Okay. Well, 12 Kingdoms. I want to try watching that then.
The 12 Maybe. Kingdoms.
I don't know if that's...
I mean, she does some stuff. I'm like, she's not. But she's not like the badass character. You know what I mean?
Why aren't there badass chicks, man?
Dude, watch Ghost in the Shell. You can like the major. She has a stupid outfit in season one, but you know.
It's a scary one, though, isn't it? It's like...
No, what? What?
I don't know.
Ghost in the Shell is not scary.
The ghost is in the name.
Standalone Complex is like a police procedural, but it's like sci-fi.
Also, it seems very difficult to keep track of what's what.
You want to watch 12 Kingdoms, this thing from 2002?
Maybe.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's just old. I didn't think you like old stuff.
I know.
You hate old things.
That's not true. I like Fushigi Yugi and Akazuki and Cha-Cha and...
It's true.
...stuff. I feel like Shoujo's prime was the 90s, and...
That might be true. I'm rewatching Code Geass, and Colin is cool. She blows people up.
Oh, guess what, Joe?
What?
Something exciting and anime related happened.
Okay.
Well, it's a new ongoing situation. We'll see if it was a one time thing or not. But I went to the dog park on Friday night. And there's this chick whose dog kept trying to hump my dog, but at least she was trying to keep it off of my dog. Cause there's like three dogs going for Lemon and none of the other people were trying to stop them. But this chick was like calling his name and his name was Jaeger. And I was like, now is that like after the alcohol or after Attack on Titan? And she said Attack on Titan. So then we started talking about anime and like lots of things in common. And I, you know, I think she is checking out the podcast and I got her name. I didn't get her number or anything, but maybe if I see her again, I'll have a dog park friend.
Dang, you can score with your dog park friend. Yeah. All that time you were like, Joe, you should get a dog so you can pick up chicks at the dog park. You did it.
Yeah.
You finally done it.
Well, her dog was trying to hit up my dog. I mean,
not the greatest meat cute of all time, but.
Lemon, you're just gorgeous and no one can keep their paws off you. Poor thing. It's tough being popular. So like hard. Three dogs coming for her at once. My God.
Dang.
But yeah, so that was like a fun, exciting thing. Also, bad news. It's hot again. It was a fluke. Damn it. I know. I saw someone post on the Austin subreddit talking about like, I can't do this anymore. Like, there is no fall. It's just summer. And I was like, word. But that's okay there. There's my like, Texas sucks. Get me out of here segment of
everybody, please enjoy the part of the show where Sarah complains about the place she lives.
But doesn't do anything about it. But I like my job. Doesn't do
anything about.
I like my job. I like it. Only thing.
I'll try to find some action anime for you to watch that have women in it.
Yeah, like either because there's ones that are like just there to look at or like we never get to learn anything about. And that's annoying. Like I want like a main squad female character.
I'm looking at like a ranker
rules
list.
I like,
did you ever watch
Claymore? If there was more like Claymore, where it's just a bunch of badass ladies doing stuff without it being like perverted in any way, that'd be ideal.
Okay.
What were you saying?
Oh, nothing. I'm just looking at a list. Okay. We'll find something for you.
Okay, thanks. Oh, and there's another one recommended to me by my avid anime watcher from my Discord server called Vampire Princess Miyu, which is another older one. But that one looked kind of cool, so maybe I'll check that out. So I've been in like an anime. Finally, I'm like in an anime watch. Well, it's all about to be obliterated by Dragon Age. But until then, for the next couple days.
For 1 week.
Anime. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched that much anime, I guess. I'm still watching my stuff.
Fired.
Still watching. Oh, wow.
And okay, you caught yourself. Show.
Man, you don't even know how many episodes you're supposed to watch this week, all right?
Shut up. No. I watched the right amount.
Yeah.
In the show. These are good episodes, so why don't we talk about that?
Oh, okay. I guess I won't talk about the rest of my stuff. Yeah, sure. Okay, why not?
What else, Joe? Tell me. Did you knit a cool scarf or something?
No, I didn't knit a cool scarf. We can move on. It's okay.
I don't know. You're devastated. Even I can.
Yeah, I'm devastated. I'll have more to talk about next week. I don't always watch stuff every week, and I feel like I should, you know what I mean?
No,
and I'm like, I'm still just watching more. Oh, this was the news. Mm-mm. One of the things I'm watching is Runaway Space Idion, right? Which is like old. It was Tomino made this after Gundam got, I think after or before or at the same time. Old mech anime. From the 80s, so I guess it was after Gundam, famously got canceled. Guess what, Sarah?
What?
It has dinosaurs in it! Episode whatever I just watched had dinosaurs!
Ooh. Okay, so they do exist. Dinosaurs in anime.
There were a couple of dinosaurs. We got to watch them have a fight, and then some of them got blown up.
Oh, no!
By missiles.
The dinosaur. Now.
And then they attacked a bunch of people, and then that's it. But there were some dinosaurs in Space Runaway Idion, so we got some dinos.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
There we go. That was my news.
Good to know they exist. Okay.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Right. Yeah.
From Let's this jump. Like 40-year-old anime. Let's jump.
That's why you gotta watch the old stuff, you know? You would have missed out. They don't put dinosaurs in new anime. I haven't
Damn
seen a
it.
Dinosaur in forever.
They should. Yep.
Space Runaway Idion got it in episode like 6 or something. All right. Well, speaking of shows that don't have dinosaurs in them, Skip Beat, zero dinosaurs this week. Really, just a terrible string of episodes.
Bad pick, my bad.
In terms of dinosaurs. Yeah. Let's start with the voice actor. I looked up the voice actor for Asami, everyone's favorite producer, Milky herself.
No! Don't say that. They didn't say it the same.
She is voiced by Ayumi Tsunematsu, who is the voice of Kuroki Hikifune in Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, which is the Squad Zero member who has pink hair.
Oh, the little food. Munchkin one? Oh, nope.
No, the one that makes the food.
Okay.
Yeah, Squad Zero is like the new one they introduce.
Oh, right. The lame characters.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like them? I like the one that stows and has like 1,000 arms. She's cool.
Oh.
The rest of them, I can take or leave.
Yeah.
I like the one who, yeah. I like the, of course, I like the one who sews.
Oh, my Discord sound. Okay, continue.
She also plays Belmiria Winston in Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, who's, like, I think Slita's mom's former assistant or something. She also plays Asteria Tor Daikin in Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, so a couple of Gundam hits. She plays someone else in 00. I didn't write that down. She plays Mayu Hisao in Fate Zero, who is another assistant to a main character.
I am.
So she's really good at playing assistants. She plays a character named Hokuto in what looks like Naruto filler, because I've never seen this character before, but there was like 6 episodes of it. So,
well, there's so many filler possibilities.
And then she has like 1,000 credits as a bunch of moms in a bunch of different shows. So she is assistant and mom typecast. She's a mom in Great Pretender. She's a mom in Psyche K. She's a mom in Way of the House Husband. She's the mom in Apothecary Diaries. She's a mom in My Home Hero. She's a mom in Goddess Cafe Terrace. I'm literally just going down the list now.
Okay, but she's in a boss role for Skip Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. I feel like a lot of these voice actors are like very much typecast, and then Skip Beat's like the exception to the what they're normally are, like Moko's voice actors normally being a mom too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, famously, no moms in Skip Beat so far.
Mm-hmm.
Only the shadow of a mom looms large, but we don't actually get to see one.
Yeah, and then the plane crash for Maria's mom.
Maria's mom's dead. Moko never talks about her family. Rin doesn't talk about his family. We got nothing. Mm-hmm. I guess we got some of Show's mom still out there somewhere.
Yeah, she is alive.
Do you think they like wondered what happened to him now that he's on TV? Like, they know he's on TV. He didn't change his name.
I mean, obviously they put the clues that he ran away, and he probably had been talking about like, I'm gonna be famous one day as a kid. So I'm sure they, are like disappointed that he's successful as that. Because they want him to take over the inn, which wouldn't have been good. He would have been bad.
He would have been terrible. Well, apparently the guy doesn't have to do shit at the inn anyway.
Oh, that's true. The lady's the star of the show.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not what these episodes are about. Skip Beat Stage 19 is called Last Rites. We open on Kyoko getting pissed off about Sho. She hates his guts, but remembers that Asami asked her to portray her character as having the heart of an angel right up to when she kills Sho's character. So she has to, like, be angelic all the way through the murder. She doesn't think she could do it, though. She imagines Rin scolding her and then tries to think about how she can do the role. She tries calling Moko, but she's unavailable, so she leaves a voicemail. She decides to call Rin instead, but she has to leave a voicemail for him, too. She thinks about trying to, like, info dump everything into the voicemail, but she's like, that's gonna sound dumb if I do that, and instead just leaves like a vague memory, like a message being like, I need to ask you something, and then like she gets cut off because she took too long to record a message. Moko calls her back and is mad because she thought it was an emergency, because I guess Kyoko also like gave her like a meek vague message. Kyoko is happy that Moko is worried about her and thinks about how she'd feel if Moko got tangled up with a bad guy like this, like the sister and the angel.
They're friends.
Music video did.
Not sisters, but yes.
They're not sisters, but no, she was already picturing Moko as her sister. So, Moko's like, I'm still on the phone. Stop spacing out. And then Kyoko asks Moko for help with the role and tries to explain the scene to her. Elsewhere, Mimori is reviewing footage where Sho's character kisses her hair, which I don't know. Is that romantic?
Her wig. Not even her hair.
It's not even her hair.
She'll take what she can get, I guess.
Yeah, for real. Asami asks Sho if he's ready and then goes over his stage directions. Kyoko comes out and is looking pretty serious. Sho and Asami are like, you good? But Kyoko just walks off. She thinks about her conversation with Moko where she asked her what take she had on, like, what the angel's feelings would be. Like, what would I be thinking? Moko tells her that if she were the sister angel, she would hate her enough to kill her. And Kyoko reminds her that like, the angel would die if she was with the devil. And Moko says that she would have already accepted that by now, and it shouldn't be Kyoko's character's business to interfere. The scene starts, and Kyoko sheds a single tear as she thinks about how she'd want to save Moko even against her wishes. She puts her hands on Sho's neck and thinks that even if Moko hates her, she must do this. White angel feathers scatter off of Kyoko as she strangles Sho, and as they fall to the ground, their color fades to black. The music kicks in. Sho, however, isn't thinking about his stage directions. Instead, he's just looking at Kyoko, who's crying for real. He forgets to close his eyes and falls off the tower, which was his one stage direction to do. The camera stays on Kyoko as she pulls her hands from her crying face to reveal an evil face has to signify that she has fallen from grace.
Good. It's good.
Good. We get more of the music. The music messed me up because I realized the song is like a literal description of what is happening in this scene.
It was a music video. And so I don't think it was actually playing. I think it was just playing. I feel like it was just playing in Sho's mind. And they specify that in, because, right, there's no feathers what they're doing. That's just effects in his mind as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any special effects going right now. This was just
the, they could.
The test.
It's unclear, which is pretty fun. Elsewhere, Rin checks his voicemail when he sees he missed a call from Kyoko. Yashiro is like, that's weird. Rin never checks his phone at work. Rin listens to Kyoko's message where she kind of just vaguely asks him for help and then decides to call her back. And Yashiro is like, well, this is totally unprecedented. back at the shoot, they have to do the scene again. Kyoko is still in character crying and she apologizes to the rest of them. Sho is relieved to learn that she's just crying as part of her role because he can't handle her actually crying. Asami explains that they're going to reshoot the part of the scene because she wants to keep Sho's shocked reaction to the crying in the first take, but they need to get the rest of it because Sho messed up the stage directions. Kyoko feels like if she were a better at acting, they could redo the whole scene, but Asami says that she was actually, like, great, like, way past expectations, so Kyoko is happy about that. Back in the director's seat, Asami explains to her assistant that they need to reshoot Sho's part because the way he looked at Kyoko in the scene implies that he was in love with her and not Mimori, so that's bad. On set, Kyoko taunts Sho for not getting his scenes right, and he gets mad. The shoot ends. Mimori comes to see Sho, but he's not interested. He wishes that Kyoko came to visit him instead. Mimori cries and Sho's like, fine, whatever, and he goes and like hugs her. She overheats and gets rushed off. Kyoko sees this and is like, oh, what, you like hug girls that cry now? You never did that for me. And Sho thinks back to when they were a kid and he didn't know what to do when Kyoko cried.
In the manga, the author makes a note that because he's like just frozen deer in headlights looking at her crying as a kid. And the author kind of indicates that he like is trying to think of something to say, but he knows that he has it good because both his parents love him, so that it would be cheap coming from him to try to console her about her mom. And that, and then a note like, oh, he's thoughtful in his own way is like the kind of in the flashback, but we don't get that here. But
yeah,
we just want to think Sho's a jerk. Yeah.
He looks away and Kyoko tells him that's why she stopped crying in front of him. And she would go somewhere else to cry. Then she thinks about a guy she would cry in front of, who's Korn from the Riverside. Remember Korn? Sho interrupts her flashback and is like, well, where'd you go cry then? And Kyoko tells him to butt out, and then she gets a phone call. She answers it, and it's Ren. Ren's like, hey, you good? I've been trying to reach you. And she apologizes, but realizes that he must have been worried about her, too, to call her back so many times, which makes her happy. She's about to tell Rin all about today when Sho, who overhears that she's talking to Rin Saruga, his bitter rival, takes the phone and tells her that she got to star in his music video, and then he hangs up. Kyoko is furious, and Sho is like, why are you mad? And Rin thinks to himself that that must have been Sho who answered the phone, as we cut to credits.
I just lost my train of thought. Well, you say the last. What was the last two lines again?
Written things to himself. And oh, right. Must have been shown right, on the right, other end of the line.
So in the manga, when she picks up and is talking to Ren, and Sho realizes that, and he's like, or after he hangs up on Ren, he's like, "What? Why are you even talking to him? Don't you used to just, you hated him so much in the past, like, because she used to talk Sho up about how much he sucked to boost his own ego. So he thought she genuinely didn't like Ren at the time. So he's like, why the hell are you talking so friendly with him?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I recovered.
So, we've reached the end of this thing. It feels like we're going to try to rehabilitate Sho a little bit in a way that I'm not interested in.
Yeah, well, sadly, like, this era, like, right now, stuff is all about revenge, and, like, there's no redemption for shitty characters, but, like,
oh, hell yeah.
Back in Shoujo Now, it was like, you know, everyone has their own things causing them to act like this, blah, blah, blah. So I do like that. Like, a lot of the webcomics nowadays are like, I'm gonna ruin that guy's life for real. Like, because he ruined mine. But yeah, because we like the revenge Kyoko, so we don't want him to do anything that would deter the revenge train.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's working on Kyoko particularly, but like the fact that we, like, the audience have to spend time on this is, like, annoying. I mean, there's a contrast that's going to happen here between Sho and Ren. I mean, this is the last time we see Sho, really. But there's conflict with Ren because he is not, I don't know, should I just wait till we get into it and we talk about the fact that he is, like, not a loving person in, like, a more possessive romantic sense, and that's, like, apparently his weakness?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Sho is doing that in, like, the gets jealous kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how they're contrasting these two things, and that's what's being shown here. The thing about that is, like, the problems with Sho isn't that he doesn't know how to comfort Kyoko when she cries. The problem is that he's just a shitty boy. He's just like a terrible person who doesn't, like, treat other people, like, respectfully at all. And it's just kind of all around a, like, narcissistic asshole.
Yeah.
Which has really nothing to do with being able to comfort people that are sad.
Remind me, after we finish these episodes, I want to ask us to answer a question regarding the world of Get Beat. Okay? Remind me to.
Okay.
Or I will forget. Okay, cool. But yeah, I guess if we want to, our next arc, right away, here in episode 20.
Episode 20. Also,
is this where we get the new opening randomly, like right at the end of the Sho?
Basically? Yes.
Why?
We get a new opening with 5 episodes left of the Sho, which makes me think that they didn't assume they were going to get canceled. I thought there was going to be more seasons of this.
Damn.
Do you want to talk about the intro? Do you like the new intro? What do you think about the new intro?
I don't like it. I thought the intro and outro for the first set was, like, decent. At least, song wise, like, the intro and outro was good. This one, the song's kind of whatever. It's more laid back, but I don't know. I don't really like the visuals for it. Also, Moko is in a bunny girl suit.
Okay, I was about to say this because, like, I do like the song a little bit, and it's like, oh, it's, like, fun or whatever. But then there's, like, a slideshow at the very end that shows a bunch of characters in, like, what I assume is, like, their opposite kind of role or whatever, because, like, one of the things that Sho is in, he's in, like, the badminton outfit or whatever, right? The thing that he hates. And also, like, Ren is in, like, a romantic suit thing or whatever, which we learn this episode is, like, his weakness, his romance. And, like, we see at the, it starts with Kyoko being in, like, a business outfit, which, I mean, guess that she's, like, too goofy or something. But then Moko's just in a bunny outfit, and I'm like, is Moko, like, is there, like, a future arc where Moko has to be sexy and is uncomfortable with it? Because, like, that's a weird thing to do.
I think you're reading too much into this. I think it's just, like, a bunch of costumes because they act, so there's just a bunch of characters in different getups. And no, that does not happen to Moko, thank God.
Okay, I was wondering, I'm like, is that a future episode?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I just always assume
Yeah, I mean, Alice is also in like a cheerleader outfit, which I'm just like, all right, I don't really know what that has to do with anything.
Who?
Alice. Yeah, the president's daughter or whatever, granddaughter.
That's not her name. It's
what's her name?
It's Maria.
Oh, why did I say Alice?
I don't know. Who's okay. that?
Yeah, Maria. I don't know. Didn't we talk about yeah. somebody named Alice at some point? Oh, no, that's from that's from Angelic Layer. Okay.
Did we like Alice? I don't remember.
In Angelic Layer? No.
Maybe she was like the freaky tall girl that was pissed that boys didn't like her or something.
No, she was the sister.
Oh, the punk ass little
No, actually,
sister.
Alice is the sister's angel who shows up at the end of the manga one. And isn't in the show at all, but it's like the final boss of the manga.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yep. Oh, man. Okay. So, if you haven't watched or listened to our Angelic Layer coverage, you should listen for the context of what we just discussed.
I'm getting small blonde girls confused. anyway, yeah. So, you know, opening is fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stage 20 is called Invitation to the Moon. We open on Kyoko telling an embarrassed Moko about how she thinks about her and her acting, and Moko is like, stop saying that, stop telling me about how you were like imagining me while you were acting. It's embarrassing. I wrote down Alice. Maria calls out to Kyoko and sees her, and she sees her and Rin as the new OP plays. Yashiro, Rin, and Maria all greet Kyoko, but Rin does it in a way that makes her think that he's mad at her. She thinks it's probably because of Sho, so she apologizes, and he's like, oh no, don't worry about it. I'm more concerned about whether or not you ruined the shoot with your revenge plot or not. And Yashiro and Moko are like, revenge plot? What are you talking about? Kyoko says that she didn't sabotage the shoot with revenge, but then thinks about how she only did the shoot for her revenge plot to like make progress. So she says that she did the shoot because it seemed like so much fun. Rin does not buy this and gives a noticeably hostile energy, but tells her that it's all good. We cut to Moko being like, well, that whole interaction was really weird. Meanwhile, Kyoko is like cowering in a corner and like becoming a crying little squirrel over it. Moko turns. Yeah, because she's like, oh, no, Ren's mad at me. Moko turns to her and asks her what's the deal with the revenge of Sho Fua. Like, what was all that about? But Kyoko is reluctant to tell her. So Moko gets mad at her. Elsewhere, Yashiro is like, Ren, you need to stop being upset because it's freaking everybody else out. Like, I'm having to console other people because you're giving off negative energy. You have to deal with whatever you're mad about with Kyoko, like, today. After work, Moko...
Funny little bit where it's like his little chibi version had, like, death stare eyes and...
Yes.
Co-star was crying.
Yeah, we are all in on the Ren is smitten. It's over for him. After work, Moko corners Kyoko in the break room and demands that she tell her about Sho Fua. Somewhere else, Yashiro threatens to break Ren's phone if he doesn't tell him about Kyoko and Sho, and we learn that any piece of technology Yashiro touches is destroyed by his bare skin in 10 seconds. But we cut away before either one can answer. I think this is like your sweat can be acidic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my mom has that. She fucked up a couch by putting her foot on it over and over again.
Yeah, but usually it's like over time, like over like a month or something. The fact that it's 10 seconds is crazy. He has to wear gloves. I mean, I guess this makes sense why his phone is always in the shop or whatever.
Yeah. I love Yashiro so much.
Very odd quirk. I got some Yashiro thoughts. Sometime later, Mr. Sawara takes a phone call from Queen Records about Kyoko. He thinks to himself that this is like a Cinderella story. He calls Kyoko and tells her that she landed a role in a TV drama, and she tells the bosses, and they're happy for her. She thinks about calling Ren, but remembers that he's still mad at her. We jump to Ren, who is visiting President Lori in his ridiculous mansion. Lori gives him a new phone, because Yashiro broke the last one. Lori asks him if he's involved with any women, and Ren says no. Lori scolds him for being so distant with everybody around him. Then he tells him that his talent can only cover up for his weakness for so long, and Ren's like, what weakness? And Lori says that he's bad at acting like he's in love. Back to LME, Sawara explains to Kyoko that Asami recommended her to the TV show director, and the director was impressed. Kyoko is grateful that she keeps getting chances to grow as an actor. Then Sawara tells her that Ren's also going to be the lead role in this show, and Kyoko freaks out. We cut to Ren, who thinks about Lori telling him about how he sucks at acting, like he's in love. Yashiro asks him about Kyoko, because they're driving in a car together. Yashiro notes that Kyoko's the only one that's able to ruff his feathers, but Ren continues to deny everything. We jump to Kyoko. She thinks about her conversation with Moko after she explained her backstory with Sho. Kyoko asks Moko if she's mad at her motivation, like, is revenge, and Moko's like, what? Who cares? It doesn't matter what your initial motivation is for stuff. You have talent enough to do that job, so, like, who cares? And then she's like, even when you get revenge, you can still, like, you know, keep going, so it's not like this is literally the only reason why you're doing this. And she notes that she seems to genuinely enjoy acting, so it's all good. Then Moko speculates that Ren is mad at her because, like, he's just jealous.
Kyoko's like, hell no, what?
Yeah. Kyoko has I have this written down, Chizu-style freakout about it. And listen to our coverage of Kimi ni Todoke to understand that reference.
Oh, yeah. So many points.
Moko is like, look, he's either jealous or, like, I don't know, he could tell you were lying and maybe he's mad that you lied to him. And Kyoko decides that it's the latter.
Yeah.
Back with Ren, he tells Yashiro that Kyoko is a high schooler and he's 20 years old, so we can't have healings for a high schooler. That would be crazy. Yashiro says that girls grow up quickly, especially showbiz girls, so he should snatch her up before anybody else does. And at this point, I'm like,
okay, Yashiro, no.
Also, the visual of this is like a
that was a, like, bad cut.
Astral naked Kyoko in profile, like, curling up, and I'm like, what are we doing?
Okay. It's a better transition in the manga but yeah, that was a bad. I remember thinking at the time, like, oh no,
bro. He just came out and said it. He's like, listen, the age gap isn't a problem.
Yeah. Well, also maybe Yashiro is just like, oh my God, I've never seen Ren show any interest in anything, so I cannot let this die. Like, maybe he feels like responsible for making this happen for Ren.
Yeah. Okay. There's a way
Yashiro,
we get to talk about
it. We hate him now.
We don't. Like, there's a way to deal with this that is, like, the way that, like, you know, age gaps around this age and, like, grooming and stuff actually happen in real life is not this. Like, this is not the way that it happens in real life when you think about, you know, 20-year-olds dating 16-year-olds or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a fantasy, right? Like, this is fiction. This is not realistic at all. So in the, like, fiction of this world, it kind of makes sense. Like, I understand where he's coming from here, even though, like, literally what is being said is like, oh, girls are mature, don't worry about it, which is, like, you know, the exact excuse every, like, creep pedophile uses when they date somebody super young. So the optics are horrible. And it does. Yeah. I can't help but wonder. I mean, they could have just made Ren 18, right?
Yeah.
Like, there didn't to be this age gap. Like, what does the age gap do for you? Like, when you write these characters?
I guess just have him be a more established veteran. Well, because he's old. Well, they're like, the author's giving them so many reasons to deny or not accept the possibilities because they're both, like, reluctant to be close to people emotionally. So it's just like, okay, cool. I have all these reasons why we can't be together. Thank God I don't have to worry about this becoming a thing.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like they could have done different things.
I'm just assuming it's a very different mentality in Japan, and this isn't as alarming to them as it is to us.
But, like, they comment, like, they go out of their way to comment on it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a reservation that Ren has, you know what I mean? Like, I feel is not, like, a typical thing.
Right. We know Ren's not raised in Japan, so he's probably from a place where it isn't normal. And everyone else is like, ah, whatever.
I don't really know, because, again, they're having this, like, this is a conversation for the audience, too. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
that's, like, going over it. I mean, again, I understand that there's, like, the fantasy stuff of, like, dating an older guy. Like, you know, in Sailor Moon, she's, like, a middle schooler or whatever. And, like, Damien, like, goes to college at some point. Right. And that's just, like, the fantasy of, like, being a young girl that, like, dates an older guy, right? But that's also not a thing that comes up in Sailor Moon. Like, they don't have conversations about that. And here it's, like, being addressed, which makes me feel like I'm supposed to be thinking about it.
I think you just overthink.
Okay.
Or not overthink, but maybe I'm just, like, space cadet when I'm watching these. But, like, I don't know when I, because I first started reading this, I was probably 15. I mean, it took a long time for me to accumulate the manga to know that this is part of the plot, but I don't remember thinking anything really about it. But they do make him seem older than, I feel like they make him seem older than 20, even though. Yeah,
but like, I mean, they could have done, you know what I mean? Like, they could have made him 19 and just be like a child actor or whatever. So he's just been in the business for so long, right? Like, I mean, you could do anything. Like, it's not. But it's the fact that it's being like brought up by Ren, which makes you think that it's going to come up again later, especially if they start getting more intimate in any meaningful way. You know what I mean? Like, he can't publicly date a 16-year-old.
No. No, I don't. Yeah, probably not. Well, he can't date anyone or else everyone's going to be pissed. All the ladies who are fans are going to be so devastated.
I mean, I guess, but like, he especially can't date somebody who's 16.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was surprising to hear this.
Because then Kyoko just becomes Ren's girlfriend and not her own star. That would be the biggest problem. She would just be the girl that Ren's dating and not Kyoko, the actress.
No, I know, but I mean, like,
she's so early in her
career. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying that, like, the way that this is brought up by Ren and, like, the complete dismissiveness of Yashiro about it makes me think that this is going to come up again. Because I don't think this is, like, a satisfactory answer for Ren.
No. It will.
There. And so I'm just surprised that this was addressed at all. Like, they could have just never said anything about it, right?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's just a tool for them to, like, if they become attracted to each other, like, reasons not to be, like, forbidden love, whatever. Because Shoko's in it for revenge, so she doesn't want to get sidetracked from that. Ren, we don't know necessarily his motivations, but he does have some particular things driving him and what he does. So I think, in theory, neither of them wants anything to disrupt those goals. So this is just like the age thing is a tool to postpone. Whatever. Okay. We're dwelling on this too much.
Okay. I mean, this was like the most interesting thing in the episode, but okay. Anyway, Kyoko feels bad for trying to deceive Ren and decides that she's going to apologize next time she sees him. The elevator opens and he's right there. Yashiro is like, wow, this is just like fate, because he is shipping them together so hard now. Kyoko panics and forces the door closed. Ren and Yashiro get in another elevator, and Yashiro says that maybe she knows that he likes her and will, like, avoid him now. But then the elevator door opens to a crying Kyoko who bows and apologizes to lying to Ren earlier.
This is called a dog goza, or
is it only back? The one where you're, like, on your...
Yeah. Yeah, you're like
on your knees and like sitting, and you like bow all the way forward or pleading. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, prostrating. Is that what you said? You're bowing. Something. Anyway,
pleading for life.
Ren, Yashiro, and Kyoko all carpool home. Kyoko explains her backstory to Yashiro. Kyoko apologizes to Ren again, and he doesn't say anything for a while. Then she asks him why she didn't want him to know that she was doing it for revenge. She says it's because she didn't want him to lose faith in her. Kyoko clarifies that she wasn't thinking about Sho while she was acting, and Ren says he believes her and flashes a smile at her. Kyoko decides that now that she's made up with Ren, she can do the drama, no problem. Ren, on the other hand, thinks about his predicament with Lori, who doesn't think Ren's up for the role, as we cut to credits.
Yeah, Yashiro's a little fangirl.
Yashiro needs to calm down.
He's just so busy being his manager. He has nothing. He probably that's has true. Like no personal life. So he's like, this is the most exciting thing that's happened because Ren is so boring. And like Lori said, no drama around him whatsoever.
Maybe he's not even like that busy. Like, you know, when Kyoko was doing it, she kind of just like, I didn't really do anything. Like, he kind of just does it all himself. So maybe he's just bored.
Yeah, maybe.
Dang, Yashiro, write some fanfic. Do something. Get into romance novels. You'd be into them.
Yeah.
Stage 21. Oh, do you have anything else?
Nope.
Stage 21 is called The One Who Deserves to Be. We open on Kyoko getting her script for the show. She's having a good time reading the script where she's going to play like the rich girl's sister. So she gets to be a rich girl and a sister.
Can we
That's
talk
fun.
About... Okay. Look, what is... Okay, I feel like... Oh, rich girl, ill, gross, snobby is like our mentality here. Kyoko has has some like fantasy built up in her mind of what a rich girl should be like, and it's very elegant and like with the chick from the that she got her like broken for helping.
Oh yeah, like a million episodes ago. Was, I don't remember.
Her yeah, name. That she thought was like that. I'm like, I don't know why she's built this kind of narrative in her head that they're like likable.
Well, we know that she's into fantasy, right? Like she was yeah. really into like elves or whatever. So maybe she's into like the like romantic princess kind of stuff. I mean, she likes the Swan Princess clearly.
Oh yeah, yeah. So,
like that, maybe that's her picture of like a rich girl. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess basically a rich girl is just a noble girl, but in modern day.
Yeah, that's how I read it. So she's like into it. Yeah. While walking, she runs into some guy crying on a like while wearing a white suit. She sees this around a corner, and then Yashiro comes out to bring him some coffee, and Kyoko wonders what's going on. She grapples with the idea of an adult man crying as we learn that the man is named Ogata, who's the director of the TV show that she's supposed to be on. He and Yashiro talk about how Ren accepted the role in the show, but Ogata is worried because President Lori doesn't approve of his casting. There's something going on when she sees Ogata, and that she thinks he's like he's gay? I don't know.
No, she just thinks he's very, like, he's pale and, you know, very, like, soft-spoken, so just feminine in her mind. It's, not that he's gay, but just that she hasn't, well, she also is from the country, and so I assume there's not as many, like...
She's never met, like, a metrosexual man before.
Yeah, yeah, so she's, to her...
Any kind of effeminate man.
Yeah.
Blows her mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also grew up with Sho, who like probably was trying to sell her on him being like the most macho guy ever.
I don't feel like Sho is the most macho guy ever, though.
Well, no, but I feel like he would think he is, like, personality, like temperament wise. Like,
I guess so.
Being, I don't know, like stubborn and loud, and
I mean, he definitely isn't crying, right?
Right.
It was interesting. This part, I was like, all right, okay. Let's see. He doesn't approve of the casting. We get a cutaway to Ren and Lori discussing the show. Lori is against it because Ren has never been in love and thus cannot perform the role correctly. He asks Ren if he's ever had true feelings for any of the women he's gone out with, and Ren cannot answer. Back to Kyoko. Ogata is worried that if Ren can't do the show, the reboot won't surpass the original show, which is like his whole goal. Kyoko comes out and Yashiro is like, oh, hey, Kyoko, what are you doing here? And she says that she was already eavesdropping, but since she's casted the show too, she wants them to like fill her in so she knows what they're talking about. And Yashiro finds this funny because Yashiro just loves Kyoko now. We cut back to Ren and Lori. Ren says that he's genuinely cared for and treated the women he dated well, but Lori speculates that they all ended up leaving him because he couldn't ever really fall in love with them or like make them feel special. Lori tells him that those women broke up with him not because they actually wanted to break up, but because they wanted him to like get jealous or like be possessive or give any indication that they were special to him at all. But Ren always just took that as a sign that they wanted to move on and then let them. Lori accuses him of being closed off, and because of that, he can only perform a facsimile of being in love instead of having the actual genuine emotion to call upon. Ren leads the meeting and hears Kyoko crying from five stories below him. We move to her and we find out that she's sad because she thought she was going to play the role of a sweet younger sister, but actually the role is for like an envious, mean younger sister. Who's going to try to break the main couple up because apparently she didn't like watch the show. She doesn't want to play a mean character, but the director clarifies that her role is super important to the story and only Kyoko has the skills to play it. Ren shows up and is surprised to learn that Kyoko is also cast in this show. The director explains that when he saw Kyoko in Sho's music video, he knew that she could outdo the role from 20 years ago because Kyoko was just so wicked and evil in that video. She's perfect. Kyoko does not like hearing this and is like, I don't know if I want to do this role anymore. But then the director panics and says that he can't have Ren and her back out. Ren decides there, then and there, that he's going to do the show regardless of what President Lori thinks. Kyoko's heart starts racing at the idea of being in a show with Ren. He reaches his hand out to her and she takes it, deciding that she's also going to be in the show. The director is pumped up. A time skip happens and we cut to some scenes from the TV show. We learn some things about this show, like it's called Dark Moon, which is a cool name, and also in English, whereas the original was in Japanese.
Yeah.
The setting
title of the episode makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The title makes more sense. The setting is like a high school, so Ren has to pretend to be a high school teacher, which is pretty funny. I guess he looks too old to be in high school.
I mean, well, we'll learn more about the plot, but like,
oh yeah,
it's kind of a parallel of what's going on where he's like older and then his co-star is like a high school girl, but they kind of are into each other. So he has to be young enough for it to be like acceptable on the TV show.
See, maybe it's all right after all.
Well, I don't. you see where that could go.
Okay, I see.
Get into it within the end.
We learned like a little bit about this show. We also learned that Ogata, the director, is the son of the original show's director. So this is like a personal thing for him to outdo his dad. Shoko, show's manager, sees an interview on TV for this TV show and is surprised to see Kyoko on it. She's like, oh my God, it's Kyoko. She thinks it would be bad if Sho saw Kyoko and Ren starring together in a TV show, so she has to distract him from seeing it. We cut to a shoot of the show. Some extras are complaining that the girl cast as Mio, Kyoko's character, is inexperienced and speculate that she got special favors to land the role. Kyoko walks up in wardrobe and snaps at them and they run away. Ren and Yashiro show up and are surprised by how different Kyoko looks. Her character is like, she's got like long, straight black hair, and then there's this large scar on the left side of her forehead because like part of her character.
She's Sawako.
Sawako had a giant scar on her forehead. Yashiro compliments her, saying that she really has the hateful aura she needs for playing Mio. It's the perfect, which Kyoko does not appreciate. She tells him that she's actually been having a hard time figuring out how to play the character. Ren is surprised because like she's been really good at the like hater attitude, and it seemed like she was really into the role, and Kyoko thinks that about her acting skills in comparison to Ren and thinks that she still has a long way to go.
Well, she's upset because they're like, wow, you're so in the role already, and she's like, I wasn't acting.
No, yeah, I was just like this. It's very funny. But she's still bummed that she can't figure out how to play the character. She looks sad, so Ren invites her to have a chat. Yashiro leaves and happens upon the director and some strange woman talking to each other. The woman demands that she must be present during Mio's scenes, and we learn that she was Mio's actress in the original show. She claims that the character of Mio is tied up in her legacy, so she wants to make sure that Kyoko doesn't screw it up. The director is a huge wuss and lets her walk all over him. We cut to a flashback of a conversation between Kyoko and Ren. Ren advises that she think about the aspects of Mio's character that aren't explicitly written in the script. Kyoko is shocked because Moko gave her the exact opposite advice. Ren explains there's a lot of ways to play a character, even keeping the lines and stage directions the same. She should think about Mio as a full character to inform her acting decisions. Kyoko thinks about this as she gets into character for the take they're about to do, which is symbolized by her eye color fading from Kyoko's golden eyes to Mio's blue eyes. However, she spent so much time getting focused that she immediately messes up the scene. The woman from before, named Izuka, scolds her. We learn that Izuka is playing the mom in the reboot, which is why she's here on set.
Poor Ogata. He's like, Kyoko, now.
Dude, he's such a wuss. Defending
you.
Ogata sucks.
Well, if you think about it, if his dad was the original director and he was the kid at the time, then he probably was like young and intimidated by this lady when she was playing Mio in the original, if he was on set at all with his dad.
Okay. I'm just going to come out and say this.
Maybe
if your dad is a famous director, I don't think you should try to be a famous director. I think you should try doing something else. The freaking Miyazaki's kid tried to do it, and he made the Tales from Earthsea, the movie, and he hated it, and he trashed his own kid's movie, like, in the press. And I'm like, why would you ever want to do this to yourself?
Oh, my God.
Don't do this.
Damn.
Take up painting or something. You know, like there's other ways to express yourself that aren't going to put you in direct comparison with your parents who may not appreciate your work.
Damn. Brutal.
Ugh. Let's see. Okay. We're almost at the end. Izuka accuses Kyoko of not preparing for the role and decides to quiz her on Mizu's character. The director tries to step in, but Ren stops him because he's like, she's got this. I don't know why he does that. Izuka asks her a bunch of trivia questions about the character, and Kyoko gets them all right. But then Izuka asks her why her character hates a specific character, which turns out to be a much more complicated answer. Kyoko spends a long time thinking about this, and Izuka thinks that she doesn't know and decides that Kyoko is unfit to play Mio as we cut to credits.
Ugh, this lady.
Yeah, I mean, the director needs to stop this from happening, being like, listen, I understand that you care about this character, but you cannot interact with your coworkers like this. The show's supposed to run for a long time.
She's, like, worried that if this new Mio is bad, it reflects bad on her because this is, like, a iconic role in her acting career. But if this new Mio is bad, wouldn't that just make her look better for when she had done Mio?
I was thinking the same thing. She I'm like, wouldn't
it would reflect on her?
Wouldn't the contrast make her look? But I mean, I think she actually just really likes this character, is my guess, and just like wants that. You know, I think she was just saying that. But yeah, I mean, in reality, it's like I feel like if she was bad, it would make her look better by comparison. And she's also in the show, so she can look good in her new role too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got to put Kyoko through the ringer. You know, she can't have any mentor figures. She always has to be like castigated by somebody.
Put on her feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big deal. This is like, you know, like a long running, huge reboot of a classic show. This is a huge opportunity for Kyoko.
Yeah.
To be in this role. And her promo clip for with Sho hasn't even gone out yet. So, like, no one probably knows about her from any of the press regarding it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. This was like a word of mouth recommendation.
Yeah. Which is cool. She didn't even have to audition or anything. She just got handpicked.
It's great. I love how Asami's like, oh, I know the biggest hater. You should definitely. Like, oh, you need like a young girl who's a hater? Oh, we got it. I got it.
Yeah. I know. I don't know what the like difference in time was. But yeah, so Asami and Ogata are like friends. That's how he learned about Kyoko. What do you think their friendship dynamic is like with Milky and our crying ghost?
He's like a crying boy and she's like motherly because she's typecast to play moms.
Yeah. I used to have friends, I guess. And showbiz.
Oh yeah, no, it's all about connections, right? It's not what you know, it's who you know or whatever.
Yeah. Do you want to take a guess at how this is going to go for Ren? Because Lori's convinced he's going to fail and have to be cut from the project. Because this is like a romance dedicated role rather than the like brief ones. Password didn't matter.
This whole Ren problem is weird to me because it's like, oh, you're not good at playing romantic roles because you've never felt it. But also it's like, it's acting, dude. Like, I'm sure Ren's never wanted to kill somebody, but he could probably play a killer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is the least convinced I am that President Lori knows what he's talking about.
Well, right. We don't know anything about him. Like, what is how he's the head of this company. Like, did he ever do acting or just like how much does he even know about acting? But that does remind me. It does remind me of what I wanted you to tell me. Remind me to say at the end of this.
Okay.
First off, at this point, it's like, damn, Ren should be a member of the Love Me section, apparently. And two, if you and I had been put into the Love Me section, what would be the reasons that we would wind up there, do you think? Like, Kyoko just, like, refuses to love and Moko, like, looks down on it. But, like, I feel like I would be like, I don't know, imposter syndrome. And my problem is I can't love myself, or that would be my shtick for being in the Love Me section.
Oh,
how can someone love me if I don't love myself?
Yeah, I'd probably have the same thing as I guess I have like the Ren problem. I don't really know what Moko's problem is. I don't really remember what is it?
Well, basically, her acting is she's like super harsh and cold, and like I don't know if they explain it very well. I don't know, she just thinks it's lame to be so mushy about things and stuff like that, or she sees it as a weakness, I guess would be hers, or she doesn't value those feelings.
I feel like I have more. I mean, Ren's not in the Love Me section, although apparently he should be. I have more of the Ren problem where it's like, oh yeah, like you like people, but they're just never like, you never perform romance correctly, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause it's like, well, I guess you just never felt it, right? Like, is that the thing? That's his thing, right? You just like, you've never felt it.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just never been in love. Yeah.
But you've never like actually been it. you know? And I guess it's the same thing. Like, I've never been in love, but that doesn't land him in the love me section. So yeah, I guess Moco, sure. Or even Kyoko. I'm just like, I don't need people to love me. Who cares? I'm acting. Mm. I'm an actor. What do you want from me? The whole thing reminds me of... Yeah?
No, yours is going to be a continuation.
The whole thing reminds me of, like, you know how there's, like, method actors or whatever? And then there's all these other actors that come out and being like, what the hell's wrong with these people? Just, like, do the job. Just, like, act. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why you gotta be like this?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree with those other ones being like, oh yeah, I just show up and do my job because I'm like a normal person that could do my job. Like, why are y'all, I don't have to like pretend to be a guy for like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, that's because this is basically an actor sports anime where it's like, you gotta train or you gotta like do something to get better. You can't just be good as is.
You have to, like, yeah, develop, but like,
skills some way.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you need to do method acting. I kind of feel like you don't. I kind of feel like you could just do whatever.
Mm.
I mean, they're not like, Kyoko's not doing method acting, right?
No.
But like the way Lori is talking about it, being like, oh, well, you haven't experienced this, so you're not going to be able to fake it, is like, I don't know, man. You could probably just fake it if you tried hard enough.
Yeah, well, I guess. Well, also, he could maybe do fine, but this is like a huge series launch, like I said earlier, so maybe it's like you really want the best and for it to like really hit people, for it to be better than the original, which was apparently really good already. So like doing good enough to depict it but not to overcome or beat the original, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because like we've definitely seen, like, I mean, like, Yashiro talks about Ren like he's never like had human emotions before, but very clearly he's good at like acting at a bunch of stuff, right? Like, uh-huh. I think Ren could do the like melodrama kind of role. Maybe this is like a much more like serious, like you're really supposed to feel the chemistry between the two actors in the roles. But I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to tell what he would be doing different. Like, how I guess we haven't seen him like act an explicitly romantic lead, although it sounds like he's never really been one.
Well, we haven't really seen him actually act that much other than like very brief moments of like testing or things like that. But we haven't seen like his whole portfolio of what he can depict. So hard for us. Also, all we've seen him is be like very serious looking in his acting. Like, we haven't seen him express like joy really or anything like that. It just seems like he does a lot of serious roles. Like, he's certainly not doing comedies.
Yeah.
He is a robot man. He doesn't know if it's funny.
I guess so. Interesting.
Yeah. So we've got 5 episodes left. I'm like, I remember how much into the dark moon arc this gets.
So is this like a big, I mean, I guess this is like a show she's on for a long time, right? So I assume this would come up a lot.
Yeah, this is like a longer running one. It's not like a short stint. It's several. Well, it's like, because it's a TV show, so it's filming over time. So it's like, at first it's going to be like everything happening in the books is going to be about this arc, because it's like figuring out how to do everything right. And then after that, it's like it's around, but like it's a thing you're just actively working on, but you still have other things being featured plot wise. But for the rest of the show, I'm assuming it's going to be very much like the mastering the role of Mio and what's Ren going to do and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we have 4 episodes. So we have four episodes.
I guess anything once we get to the last episode. Any like unanswered questions from that were brought up and not answered by the anime itself, I can address at the end for some closure for everyone who's not going to read the manga but enjoy the anime.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be in 2 weeks' time.
Well, this arc, I think, is going to be interesting because, like, you know, I mean, like, we end on, like, a conundrum from Kyoko, but this seems like it's going to be a Ren arc. And this is the first time we've really had an arc about somebody else, if it ends up being about him. That's because, like, he has the major dilemma. She has the minor dilemma that'll probably be, like, wrapped up next episode.
True. Oh, you know what?
What?
I forgot to say in my catch-up is that Love Island Australia has just started a new season. So I do have some reality show to look forward to now.
Well, that's good.
Speaking of love.
Yeah.
I know. This cast is quite nice to look at.
That's good.
It's really hard to watch people kiss on TV, though, because, like, damn, that dude's weak. Like, way too much tongue. Like, I'm horrified thinking about being in that situation.
Okay. You don't have to picture it's you.
Well, I just feel bad for the person it's happening to.
Maybe they're into it.
And they say it was a good kiss, and I was like, ugh.
People are into different stuff when they kiss. People like, what?
There's
like,
too much coordination.
And I'm like, all right.
I don't possess the skill set.
They definitely, like, they definitely have to do multiple takes, right?
I don't know. Also, why do they make them? It's like, I'm looking at it, and it's like, they're in Spain. It's like, so hot. I'm like, why are they making them all stand under the sun? It's got to be hours that they're filming this scene, like, to get exactly how they want it. I'm so stressed out about it.
Yeah, I bet it sucks.
What if I... yes.
I think being on a reality TV show would suck, probably.
Well, they're all just wannabe influencers, so this is what you got to do.
I guess. And
it works out for a lot of people. Especially if you make it to the end and are likable. We'll see. There's one broad that I'm like, ugh, gross already. Anyways, this is okay.
This broad over here. You're like, a 1920s gangster. Like, what is this?
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Okay.
It's just in my vocabulary for some reason.
That's all good.
Let's see. I guess anything skip beat related before we move into recommendations?
I don't think so. I mean, again, you know, it's the same thing I've been talking about before, where it's like the love me thing for Kyoko doesn't even seem like it's a problem anymore. It seems like it's become a problem for Ren, if anything. So
I mean, we get like brief glimpses of them doing love me work here and there through these episodes, but it's just like assistant stuff. Like, they shouldn't be the ones doing it. Like,
no, this definitely feels like it's just
hands or something.
It's just an opportunity to put them in the outfits, which is fine.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're hoping to be in those outfits ourselves.
Maybe. We'll see if we can find any jumpsuits that are any quality at all.
Yeah. We may need to be like, everyone, find your jumpsuit. Don't worry about finding one that works for everyone and just vaguely look similar with the patches to indicate we're the same thing. I know, because I was looking at ThreadUp, which is that used clothing site. Sadly, they don't have a men's section, but I was like, oh, there's...
Well, I can just get it like a large size and tailor it down. This is why I learned how to sew.
Yeah, but these are like used ones, so it's like only one. There's no like stock of each
one. Sure. We'll figure something out. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Recommendations. Okay, I guess I'll go first. I have something I can talk about. It'll be pretty quick. And I'm like, I don't know how interested anyone else is going to be in this recommendation. But, well, actually, it's kind of relevant because Skip Beat is about celebrity culture and stuff. And so I am recommending a podcast called Diving Board because we deep dive into, like, celebrity culture on this podcast, which is something I have never paid attention to. Like, I never read magazines or things like that. But kind of listening to it retroactively, like, oh, okay, this is like a thing that was happening when I was a kid. Like, the episode I'm listening to right now is about Nicole Richie, who was on that, like, the Simple Life show with Paris Hilton, where it's like two, you know, like, rich girls go to a farm or something reality show, and apparently it was very popular at the time. But it's just interesting listening to, like, the stuff that goes on in these people's, like, what was going on at the time. Also, like, in our eyes today, some of the stuff that they did to women in, like, the 2000s, awful. So it's interesting to look back, and it wasn't that long ago. And
yeah, dude, if you ever watch, like, an old episode of, like, America's Next Top Model.
Oh my god! Bro. Yeah, it's so bad. Yeah,
what are you Tyra saying
Banks
on camera?
Did not. She was not ready for COVID when everyone was rewatching all of those seasons, and then it's like, oh my god, this show is horrific, and this is the stuff they okayed to view. So who knows what's happening that they didn't show? But yeah, this gal. She's just doing it by herself and she seems busy. So the episodes don't come out super often, but like a good host who, yeah, was, I guess, someone who grew up in a small town. So she didn't have that much going on. So she was super into this growing up. So it's, I don't know. She even had a guest interview with Flavor Flav.
Wow.
So that's cool. I mean, she had a celebrity as a interviewee. But there's like, there's like one about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' relationship and like Brangelina and the Janet Jackson Super Bowl halftime show. So just kind of like, there's a whole series of episodes on Lindsay Lohan because she was one of the like it girls that had a whole lot going on. Discuss. But yeah, just kind of celebrity, Hollywood, all that kind of stuff. So it's fun to because I didn't even know there's a feud between Lindsay Lohan and Hillary Duff at one point, but apparently there was. And so, yeah, there's only maybe about as many episodes that we have on our podcast, but I quite like it. And so diving board, if you're into stuff like that, you should check it out. That's my recommendation this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend it's October. It'll be one day before Halloween when this episode comes out, which is a great time to watch the cartoon miniseries Over the Garden Wall. If you haven't heard of this.
Okay, I've heard good things.
Maybe.
It's got Elijah Wood, right?
Yes. Yep. So this is a mini series on Cartoon Network. It's about 10 episodes. Each one's like a little, 11 minutes. So you could bang the whole thing out in about 2 hours, movie length, essentially. It is about a pair of brothers named Wirt and Greg that get lost in the woods, essentially, and are, both on a quest to get home and also are being dogged by some monster that lives in the woods. This won an Emmy. It's good. If you've probably heard of this before, unless you're like not into animation, in which case maybe you haven't. It came on Cartoon Network, but it was very high production. So Elijah Wood does the voice of Wirt. Colin Dean does Greg. There's also, Christopher Lloyd does voices in it. Tim Curry does voices in it. Trying to think of anyone else on this thing that maybe people would know. Critically acclaimed, very high. Yeah, it's like spooky. It's like kind of dark fantasy kind of thing. Okay. I believe it is vaguely based on. Actually, I'm not. Let me confirm if this is real before I say this, because I think it might be vaguely based on The Inferno.
The season of the challenge.
Yeah, I think it was based on the season of the challenge, The Inferno.
On MTV, yeah.
On MTV, yes. No, maybe it's something else. I think it was one of those like based on one of those like classic stories.
Like Dante's Inferno?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nope.
Let's see. So they get lost in the woods. It's like a folk horror kind of thing. It's horror for children, so it's still a kid's show. It's not like it's actually going to be that scary. Although it is cool aesthetically, some of the things that happen in it are very like cool to see.
Hey, we love grown ass adults watching shows intended for children here.
It turns out they're good. Listen, we live in a time when we try to pretend like stuff that's for children isn't. The entire MCU, which are superhero movies intended for children that we're just going to make adults somehow. And YA is super popular, which again, for children. I mean, it's for young adults, YA. But it's still.
Oh, young adult.
Yeah, young adult.
Okay. I don't know. I need to watch the new season of Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous. Maybe I'll recommend that next week. Or if Dragon Age Veilguard goes well, I'll recommend that. So, it's like Halloween Day is when that comes out. And then oh, I really hope it's good.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. But there's a hot character, so that'll be enough of a driving motivation for me to play the game. I'm on the prowl, my character.
Okay, this doesn't seem to actually be based on anything.
Oh, the...
Anyway.
Fun fact, Elijah Wood likes Walkabout Mini Golf.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The creator of this also wrote for, like, Adventure Time and apparently in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio most recently. So check it out. You can watch it on Hulu.
Okay. Nice. And what else should our viewers or our listeners do, Joe?
Rate us 5 stars. The show's over, folks. We did the episode, and this is the part where we tell you to, if you enjoyed the episode, please rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Leave a little comment there for the algorithm. Always nice for when that happens. I just got a weird campaign text. Sorry. For the election. That's what the campaign is for.
Yeah.
Anyway, do that and tell your friends to watch this. Word of mouth, best way to recommend things. Even now, in the world of algorithms, it turns out those algorithms suck and nobody really engages with the stuff that they're presented because the algorithms are dumb. So tell people to listen to this stuff. Tell them to watch Skip Beat. We're almost done with Skip Beat. We got 2 more podcast episodes left. We're going to cover 2 episodes in these last 2. So next time we're going to watch 22 and 23, and then we're going to watch 24 and 25. In the final finale, and then we'll be watching something else. So it's a good time to jump in. If you want to give yourself some time to catch up on Skip Beat, you'll have 2 weeks to do so, and then you can follow along with our next show, which we will announce when we get closer to the end.
Yep. Yeah, so if you're at the dog park and you're like, oh, is that dog named after an anime character? You'd be like, oh yeah, love anime. There's this great podcast I listen to, blah, blah, blah. Any opportunity arises, do it. Spread the word. And yeah. So, oh, I guess I'll also, if you guys listen and you want to chat with us or anything, either follow us on socials where we're on Instagram and TikTok, or you can join the Discord link that is in our link tree, which is listed on our social platforms. So, if you want, you can join. The Discord is technically my Discord, but I have a section dedicated to Shoujo stuff. So if you ever want to talk about the shows we're covering or have covered or want to recommend a series, you should check out the Discord as well. Boom. New segment. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
What did we learn today?
It's hard for me to think about what we learned. What did we learn today? Let's see. Feeling bad that you don't know how to comfort someone when you're crying is not a redemption for your shitty boy attitude. That's not really a lesson anybody needs to learn. Don't date. The only thing I can think of about Rin now is, like, you know, the beginning of Scott Pilgrim when it's like Scott Pilgrim is dating a high schooler. It's just Ren Saruga is dating a high schooler. Like, that's what it's going to be. Oh, my God.
He isn't. He's not.
He's not right now.
What if she had never gone to school?
Then she wouldn't be a high schooler. She'd be a dropout. Maybe that's...
Yeah.
Would that be better? I don't think it'd be better. Probably good that she's going to high school. Although, I like how it was like a whole plot point that she's going to high school and then we don't see her go to high school. Did she go to high school in the manga?
I mean, yes. It's just there's like no plots that happen around high school. It's just, which is interesting. You think maybe something
school-related
would happen. Like, maybe there'd be like a school play or something
because it was
a school full of actors, right?
Yeah.
But no.
I mean, she must have friends at school, right? Like, is she just hanging by herself? Like, I want to know what's going on. Yeah.
No, she's there for school.
Depressing.
Basically, she's going to school with a bunch of people like show. So why would she want to be friends with them?
I wouldn't assume they're all like show. I'm sure some of them are cool. But yeah. Well, we didn't learn anything about going to school. If your skin melts electronics, don't use that as a threat to other people. Don't take your friend's phone and then threaten to break it.
Don't pressure someone to give away information that's not theirs to give.
Yeah. And then don't ship them with a high schooler.
It's not Ren's secret to share. Yeah, that's
you. You know, if you're gonna try to get involved in your friend's love life, maybe you should try to wingman them instead of like inadvertently sabotaging it all the time.
Yep.
You know, maybe you should be a cool bro about it.
Yeah. Also, if you have a friend who like absolutely adores you and she's not telling you what to do, if you just say, I'm never talking to you again, or I'm not your friend anymore, that'll get them to open up real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Don't break their electronics. Complete. Hold your friendship hostage. That's so much better.
Whichever lesson you want to take away, whichever one applies for you, go with it.
Strong arm your friends. They'll forgive you.
I don't know. It doesn't work. I try to tell my sister, like, oh, please hang out with me or do this thing with me. Nope, never works.
Yeah, she won't even come on the podcast.
I know. Well, that's because the one she super loves. Okay. We can call me Samakith if it ever comes back. Or Kadocha. Like, those are the ones she really, really, really likes.
Hey, Kadocha's like 100 episodes.
I mean, there's... I know. I like, she's watched the one we're considering next, so I could maybe bring her on.
Mm-hmm.
She's a big time person. I'm sure having her as a guest is going to get us a lot of new listeners.
Oh, this person they never heard of. We've only like vaguely spoken about. Yeah. They probably will, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Anyway, remember, just strong arm your friends, whatever. It's cool. It turns out their secrets aren't even that interesting, and you probably could have just guessed them.
That's pretty interesting. But anyways, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Shoujo. Cut. End. This is the end. Oh, my God.